And these are insights into the spiritual world and how these books were accepted all over the world and all over the academic universities. And then recently, well, also the fact that Srila Prabhupada made, when he came, he just went to Central Park and started chanting, and just automatically, it was so amazing that all these people just started following Srila Prabhupada like he's the Pied Piper back to Krishna Loka. And honestly, when I saw the Hare Krishna movie, and to see Hare Krishna up on the billboards, and then it kept playing because it was so popular. And I think the most amazing thing about Srila Prabhupada is that he did so much service. He spread this movement so far and wide. He made so many devotees. He planted so many seeds. And the most amazing thing is that the whole world has heard of Hare Krishna, but hardly anyone has heard of Srila Prabhupada. And the most amazing thing is that his humility and his sincere desire to serve his spiritual master is what spread this movement. And it will continue to spread this movement. And that's also a most amazing thing. Because when the Acharya leaves, there's always trouble. There's chaos, there's this, there's that. We have a whole laundry list of what went on in ISKCON, just like Prabhupada had a whole laundry list of what went on in the Gaudiya Math. But the most amazing thing is that Prabhupada's temples are still here. His disciples are still preaching, and there are still devotees being made all over the world. But again, I think the most amazing thing is Srila Prabhupada's humility, that he has the biggest movement, the biggest spiritual movement in the whole history of the United States, in the whole history of the world. He's the founder acharya of the biggest spiritual movement in history of the human history. Yet nobody knew hardly anyone knows his name. So that is a great tribute to Srila Prabhupada's humility. So my prayer today is that I can get a little drop of Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and that maybe I can do something that will please my spiritual master and please Srila Prabhupada and the entire disciplic succession. So all glories to Srila Gurudev, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the entire disciplic succession for appearing here in this miserable material world to save the fallen conditioned souls who are locked in the struggle of birth and death and who are drowning in an ocean of ignorance and sorrow. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
So Leela Nanda Prabhu and then Mother Sukada.
Hare Krishna. Now, so many of you had association with Prabhupada, Ajidev Prabhu, Shankar, although I was initiated by Prabhupada, I never really had association, never met him. And I can only say my own realization about this. When I look at the disciplic succession, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, as far as I know, they never left India. Even Lord Chaitanya, he never left India. So they were with their disciples all in one place. Now, Lord Chaitanya was walking across India, so he was within walking distance, I could say, from his disciples. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also, Prabhupada took a train and went to see him, and Srila Bhaktivinoda also. So Prabhupada was the first one that really went global. He went global. And naturally, as a global guru, many of his disciples, not only me that was initiated by Mel, but many of his disciples didn't have close association with them. Some saw him in a festival. A smaller number spoke to him. And even a smaller number had a personal meeting with him, like Adidev, sitting across Prabhupada and talking to him for 30 minutes. So I don't feel so alone in my life as a disciple that never met him, because most of us never met him. But celebrating Prabhupada's disappearance is actually celebrating Prabhupada's presence. That's the way I see. And throughout my life, I have seen Prabhupada's presence. And sometimes even sleeping, I see Prabhupada's presence. I had some bad dreams, and then in the dream, I start chanting. And I feel that, no, it's a blessing from Prabhupada. It just being part of the mission, I think the more we are engaged in the mission, the more Prabhupada has disappeared for us, and the more present he is. And the less we are part of the mission, and naturally, you know, the opposite. And I was listening to Vaishnavananda, and he was saying about how he misses, or how we miss Prabhupada. And a song came to my mind, and I kept, you know, sometimes a song comes to your mind, you can't get rid of it. So I was thinking that song, we are missing you, Prabhupada, where are you? You can sing with me. We are missing you, Prabhupada, where are you? One more time. We are missing you, Prabhupada, where are you? And Prabhupada would say, I am in my books. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Another Sukada and then John Marshtami Prabhu.
I've been afraid that this battery is going to run out, so we'll see what happens. This also talks about where Prabhupada is. Srila Prabhupada always viewed the world through the eyes of the scriptures, chakra. Shastra Chakshush. We sometimes view the world through the eyes of the Shastras, but often we view the world through Srila Prabhupada Chakshush, seeing the world through Srila Prabhupada's eyes. Put on your Srila Prabhupada glasses. Although Srila Prabhupada seemingly came to America alone, he was actually harboring an entire entourage through the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the songs and words of the previous acharyas, especially Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's. The 60s and 70s were tumultuous times when many of us joined. The Vietnam War, with the carnage taking place, spurred many of us to resist such meaningless slaughter. As intent as many of us were to see everyone equally, without Srila Prabhupada's guidance, it proved to be an impossible task. Putting on our Srila Prabhupada glasses and fortified with Vidyavinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini, our eyes were opened with the torchlight of knowledge, and Srila Prabhupada's deep affection for all living entities was born. I can remember lying on my back as a child looking up into the stars, wondering, what was going on up there? Surely there's something there, I speculated. Srila Prabhupada gave us the conclusive evidence. There is life everywhere, in ice, in fire. Living entities permeate the universe to the tune of 8,400,000 forms. Life on every planet. Before Srila Prabhupada, conceiving of my final destination, my future consisted at best of residing on a vague cloud with angels' harps and melodic organ music. I thought, I'm definitely not interested in going there. Sounds like church. So boring. The first day I walked into the Detroit Temple, I saw a painting of the Earth planet from space, and in the upper corner, a picture of a piece of the spiritual world with Krishna, gopis, and cows. There was a devotee being propelled from the Earth planet up to Goloka Vrindavan. Immediately, my interest was aroused. Where's that? Like a travel poster advertisement, Srila Prabhupada orchestrated these windows to the spiritual world so that we would be attracted. What a relief to be introduced to Goloka Vrindavan, full of desire trees and spiritual rasa, where our service to Krishna is returned by the Lord himself, and all is permeated with Krishna prema. Best of all, a piece of the spiritual world resides here on the earth itself, where we can become refreshed, renewed, or often just reminded, this world, this body, is not where we want to spend any more lives. Reminders of this transcendental realm pop up everywhere. Peacocks taught Krishna to dance. Cows, Krishna's pets of choice. He rarely appears without one. Devotees see them as delivering liquid religiosity that our brains can absorb and assist us in understanding Krishna and his abode to the highest extent. On any given day, we can walk out of our homes and reminders of Krishna lead the way. The sun, the moon, Krishna's eyes, a rainbow, Krishna's smile, a dark rain cloud, why none other than the color of our very own Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shyam. So many animal forms are there to remind us of Krishna's pastimes. Put on our Prabhupada glasses. An elephant, Kuvalayapita, an emissary of Kamsa, who Krishna defeated with ease. There's also the elephant Gajendra, the elephant who tangled with an alligator, who remembered the prayers he learned in his past life and was able to call upon the Lord who rescued him on the back of a swan. Swans, the epitome of goodness. Swans are able to extract the milk in a mixture of milk and water, just as a devotee can draw out the spiritual essence from the material world. Monkeys, friends of the Lord, to whom Krishna mercifully and plentifully distributes butter and yogurt, as well as mischievous monkeys, even dangerous residents of Vrindavan who snatch packages, grab glasses, and worse. And there's the epitome of monkeyness, our dear Hanuman, brave, courageous warrior and servant of Lord Ram. Donkeys, the infamous Danica Stura comes to mind, who tried to stop the coward boys from eating fruits in the Taliban forest. Never fear. Krishna's brother Balaram took care of that. Mountains? Who would have known that mountains have wings, and that when their wings are cut, they end up just sitting there for us to look at? Birds? Krishna's artistry. Trees? Unfortunate souls unless able to offer their fruits and flowers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada often maligned Kali Yuga dogs who are worshipped as God, but there are also references to Krishna's pets or Shivananda Sain's special dog, who upon taking foodstuff directly from Lord Chaitanya chanted in his own way and returned back home back to Godhead. Once at Kumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees, how do you know Krishna's God? Because the Bhagavad Gita says so, answered one devotee. Prabhupada said someone could say that's just a book. Another devotee answered, because you say so, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada replied, they'll just say, he's just an old man. The devotees couldn't come up with a satisfactory answer. But Prabhupada revealed, because you feel blissful, because you feel the nectar. The devotees agreed. They felt the ecstasy. They felt the nectar. Still do. That ecstasy is what has kept us going. Still, it's keeping us going. We're all here feeling and experiencing the nectar. Looking through Srila Prabhupada's glasses, we can see a servant as the most exalted position instead of something lowly and degraded. We know that education, status, wealth, or religion creates no impediment in developing a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada gave us his own dedication, determined, devoted, resilient example of a servant of the Lord. He was, is the Supreme General, commandeering a spiritual takeover, covertly and overtly, and we can see the results. Devotees of the Lord who have given this one life in his service are living servant up until their last breath, because that's what our Srila Prabhupada did. Let's put on our Srila Prabhupada glasses and keep them on. Let us remember Srila Prabhupada at every moment. Instead of seeing this world as a place to enjoy and people as objects to exploit, let's see, as he did, the suffering that's taking place. Let's see the world rushing to hell. Let us take up the task of turning the tide of Kali Yuga, which he said we could do by distributing his books, Prasadam, Harinam, and by giving our association. We've received our inheritance, taking up the challenge of liberating as many souls as possible from this Marcha Loka, planet of death. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please empower us to become beacons of light in the darkness of Kali. Please speak through us. Nimitta Matram, let us become your instruments of turning back the tide. Hare Krishna.
So Janmashtami Prabhu, and then another Vedavati. Janmashtami. No? And, is he there? Oh. No. All right. Mother Vegavati. No, John Marston.
Did you want me to come?
Yeah, please. Yeah. The show must go on.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. I'm very moved by everyone else's homage. I'm just going to read what I wrote for Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to you on your divine disappearance day. Each year it becomes harder for me to know what to say to you. I feel at once so grateful to have been given the shelter of your books, which I read every day. Krishna's holy name, I chant a shadow of it. Association of your faithful devotees, some of whom are my dearmost friends. Prasad, Krishna's mercy in its most accessible form. Some service engagement, helping keep track of others' surrender and helping you build your TOVP. And yet I feel so far from true surrender to your lotus feet. Please let me increase my attachment for serving the devotees who love you and decrease my tendency to try to be comfortable in this temporary material world. Several more memoirs have come out this year, and each one serves to bring us closer to you. Each devotee is so unique, and each has his or her special flavor of appreciating and serving you. I hope to always be among such beautiful Vaishnav flowers and the aromatic garden that surrounds you. Jai Sri Radhesha. You planted the seed of bhakti in thousands of hearts and continue to do so through your books, recorded lectures, disciples, grand disciples, and other followers around the world. In so many ways, you are to be glorified. I hope I can do my part too. Your very insignificant daughter, Bhagavati.
Krishna Smaran Guru. And then Bhaktin Christiana.
In the beginning, I always thought myself very unfortunate that I did not meet you, Srila Prabhupada, personally. Happy disappearance, just like when we say happy Vyas Puja. Although lamentation is allowed at this time, it is an opportunity to be jubilant, because you are taking us to a higher platform of association and spiritual entertainment in the understanding of Vipralamba. So I didn't miss anything. Your disappearance is considered non-different from your appearance, only because you actually cannot disappear. One of a guru's obligation is to be responsible for his disciples' guidance and protection towards the goal of emancipation. This could only be possible through Divine understanding. This is your movement, and we all know that you are still guiding us. Hence the reason why that we are worshipping today and will continue for the next 10,000 years. The intelligent who understand this truth will be confident in glorifying you as the only hope for mankind's liberation. Because of the adulteration of other revealed scriptures, such as the Bible and the Quran, we can understand that Jesus or Muhammad cannot help the general mass. The fact that we have you and your teachings as it is, that will never be tampered with because of the modern technology, we are very lucky to be living now. In conclusion, I would like to declare it boldly that no man commit unto the Father except through you. The devotees that worship you with love and devotion, and following your instruction to the best of their abilities, will stand a better chance to be saved. That is all I wrote. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Dr. Christiana and then Chitralekha. She's not here. Is Chitralekha here? Yes. Please. And then after her, Mathura, if there's enough time. Chitralekha? Yeah.
So, first of all, Hare Krishna. So first I wanted to just acknowledge what wonderful memories everyone has been speaking so nicely. It's very inspiring, and hopefully, okay. Thank you. I wanted to tell a couple of stories just in a way to show how Prabhupada was so personal with each and every individual person, you know, and it was depending on, you know, who that person was, what they were thinking, you know, because he did respond just to whatever was going on in our minds. We didn't have to even pray about anything. Usually you walk in the room and Prabhupada knew immediately what was going on and would address that. For myself, I wasn't a very outspoken devotee, always very, you know, sort of shy. I was afraid to say too much to Prabhupada. I didn't want him to become upset with me. That would sort of shatter me. So he knew in different ways, you know, that he would interact with me. I had the benefit of being married to his personal servant, so I sort of had a foot in the back door most of the time, and Prabhupada did know who I was and knew my children. And so a lot of the stories, the specific ones that I'm going to tell, are some about my children, because he also knew that was very dear to me, you know, to see my kids interacting with him. And so my son, he's my eldest, he would always have a flower to offer to Prabhupada when we'd go to have darshan with him. And so this one time I was late. We were living in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was leaving. I had two children. So I had them in the stroller and was pushing them over from, I believe it was Agni Dham. Isn't that the one a few blocks away? So we were pushing them over. Prabhupada was already in his car on the side of the temple in the alley there, ready to leave, you know. And the devotees had already been there. There was some space, you know, between the devotees gathered there and Prabhupada's car. And so I thought, oh, good. You know, so I pushed the stroller right up to the car, pulled my son out, and there he is. He's like 2.5, maybe, at that point. And I said, here's your flower, Soumya. Prabhupada's there in the car. And so Soumya comes running up to the car. Prabhupada sees him, and he stops the car. He says, tells him to roll down the window and sticks his hand over for Soumya to give him the flower. You know, so it's just the simplest gestures that would encourage the children and encourage the parents. Another sort of flower story that was significant and really funny is when we were in India, and this is when Soumya was about 3 at that point, and Prabhupada was leaving, he's going out the side gate, his car was already waiting for him. Devotees were all around him. Of course, all the men were gathered around Prabhupada and slowly walking toward the gate. And so I said, "Soumya, come." You know, so I said, "Here's your flower." And I pushed him through the devotees, you know, the circle around Prabhupada, and sort of give him a nudge into the center. I said, "There's Prabhupada, go give him your flowers." And so Soumya, he didn't have the greatest vision, and he wore big glasses. And Prabhupada was always teasing him about his glasses. But anyway, Soumya gets in the middle of this circle of devotees, and he just starts looking around. Looking around for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada sees him. He stands there. He stops, and he stands there, and he picks up his cane, and he taps him on the shoulder. And he says, "Here I am, over here." And Soumya continues looking around this circle, you know, and Prabhupada takes his cane and taps him on the head. "Here I am, over here, I'm here." And Soumya continues twirling around, looking for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's tapping him again on the shoulder, and finally I pushed my way through the devotees and grabbed Soumya and turned them toward Prabhupada. I said, "Soumya, Prabhupada's there. Give him your flower." And Prabhupada, you know, graciously took the flower then from Soumya, and you know, he left. Soumya went out to play again, and Prabhupada left, you know. That same visit to India, you know, Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan in the temple. It was during, must have been Guru Puja, about that time in the morning, and we were there. Soumya was very curious and, you know, very sober sort of child. He walked up to the Vyasasan in the middle of kirtan and is just looking at Prabhupada, just really taking it in. And one of the devotees didn't like that very much, so he picked up Soumya. And Soumya's kicking and screaming. So this is in front of Prabhupada. Kicking and screaming, and he carries him off to the side and sort of turns around and glares at me. And I'm going, "Oh, he wasn't doing anything." So Soumya went right back in front of Prabhupada. And the devotee, you know, I got daggers, of course, and the devotee, Soumya's just standing there appreciating Prabhupada and just, you know, looking at him. And the devotee again gets really upset and picks up Soumya, and Soumya's kicking and screaming, you know, and he carries him off and puts him on the side. And Soumya, he went off then outside, and I followed. And after the lecture, after the morning class, Prabhupada was leaving to go to his room, and I was outside near my son, who was playing in the dirt. And Prabhupada stops, and he says, "Where is your son?" I said, "Oh, he's off playing in the dirt, Prabhupada." And he says, "Oh, okay, very nice." So it was just these small interactions of Prabhupada's love, loving exchanges with the kids, with the parents. Are we out of time? No, we have more time? Almost? Another minute? Okay. So this one was another unusual one. It was my daughter who was one, and it was that same visit to Vrindavan. We had first gotten there, Prabhupada was in his room. And everyone was in there for darshan, or it was several devotees were in there for darshan. So immediately I took the children in to have darshan with Prabhupada. And we offered obeisances and sat down. And Shantaya, who's 1 year old and walking, she gets up and she starts walking toward Prabhupada. And a brahmachari at the door, who's sort of guarding the door, he's like, again, throwing daggers at me, you know, saying, no, go get her, bring her back, you know, she can't do that, you know. And I sort of halfway ignore him and then look, you know, to make sure she isn't causing a disturbance. And I look back over and he's having a fit, you know, just, wanting me to go get her and get her out of there, you know. And so I looked at Prabhupada. I saw him and I looked at Prabhupada and as though I was going to get up, and Prabhupada said, no, just let her be, you know. And Shantaya continued to walk up to Prabhupada at his asana, and crawl onto his lap. And sit down and is touching things on his desk, you know, and Prabhupada picked up a flower from his desk so she didn't take his other things and gave it to her, you know, and then he looked at me and he went, okay, you know, and then I went up and I got Shantaya and went back. We offered obeisances, and I left. I was very happy. That was our darshan. And sort of sneered at the brahmachari as I walked out the door.
Hare Krishna. Jai, thank you. This evening, there will be more remembrances and a special appearance by Sriman Achyutananda Prabhu. We'll give some remembrances as well. And so, after that will happen after the 7:15 RT, and so everyone is welcome.